Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is WebSphere NQ JMS Java Tracing for Distributed Platforms. Today's presenter is Tim Elwood. Tim has been with the WebSphere NQ Distributed Support Team since September 2008. Tim has extensive experience in managing and maintaining IT middleware technologies, and his responsibilities now include providing focused customer support for the Application and Integration Middleware Division. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Tim. You may begin.
Thanks, David. As everyone, as David announced, we'd like to welcome everyone and thank you for attending today's webcast, where I will be going over WebSphere MQ JMS Java Tracing for Distributed Platforms. And we can jump to slide two. During this presentation, I will be covering how to perform version 7 JMS tracing using MQ JMS trace level, how to perform version 7 Java tracing. I will cover MQ-based Java tracing from WebSphere application server and discuss one of the new features to tracing, which is the WebSphere MQ version 7 Java properties file. I will highlight formatting and reading MQ Java trace and go over some of the more common issues in JMS Java tracing. I will show one of the most common WAS JMS trace strings we provide when requesting JMS traces in WAS. I'll go over some details on JVM and JCA tracing and provide some troubleshooting hints and tips and references before wrapping up with any questions and answers. Slide three. One of the main reasons for putting this presentation together was to help provide you with more direction and understanding when it comes to performing MQ JMS Java tracing. Since WebSphere MQ is somewhat integrated with WAS and other IBM middleware products, we've seen many problems from customers where different levels of tracing have become important to help debug MQ code, as well as other JMS Java-based application issues. Capturing a JMS Java trace during failures and or exceptions is often vital, because this can be one of the critical points of when the trace can actually show a failing component. IBM support uses the JMS Java traces to debug IBM or client code as well. It also can help pinpoint where a problem might be occurring, which in turn helps lead us to find a quicker and better resolution or any known fix pack. WebSphere, or where JMS Java traces can be taken, includes from the command line using the COM IBM MQ common services. From the JMS.config file, we have the Java properties file and MQ JMS trace level. Or from the WebSphere admin console, as I will be highlighting some of these methods later on. Slide four. The tech note in the first bullet point, 1174 and 924, is for JMS tracing in version 7 and outlines two main methods of running a JMS trace. Keep in mind that this is one of the many tech notes that we provide to our customers for more must-gather details on starting, stopping, and formatting traces. This link for the tech note would be a good one to bookmark. In fact, most of the reference tech notes and links should be considered for adding to your bookmarks throughout this presentation. The method one is using the runtime tracing properties. Method two is using JMS configuration file. In the next few slides, I will provide details of each of these methods. Next slide. The first method is to invoke the application using the Java program by using the common services properties. Keep in mind that these trace instructions are for standalone applications that are not running under any application server. To invoke the Java program, this can be done such as using the example Java program. And when the trace is ran, it will default to a file named mqjms_pid.trc. If the process ID is not available, a random number is generated and prefixed with the letter F. In the last bullet point, there's an example of using the full path for the output name. Next slide. Method two is using the JMS configuration file, jms.config. The JMS configuration file is a sample file, as described in the techno link provided before. Most of the properties are commented out, so although a non-default value may be set, it isn't in effect if the sample file is passed into the JMS application. At the end of this section, I'll provide you with the Info Center link where you can view some of the additional parameters of the JMS configuration file. If you want to use the JMS configuration file, then it needs to be explicitly indicated at runtime since there is no default JMS configuration file. You'll need to locate the sample JMS configuration file, jms.config, depending on which platform OS you're using. It may be found in one of the locations noted. Copy the sample jms.config into a directory that is outside the MQ code directory structure and give it another name. Then modify the following property in your own copy of jms.config file to enable the tracing with the common services trace status set to on. Next slide, please. After modifying the jms.config property file, we now should be ready to execute the JMS program using the property client.config.location as shown in the example by running the Java program. The trace file defaults to a file named mqjms_pid.trc in the current working directory where PID is the current process ID. As touched on before, if a process ID is not available, then a random number is generated and prefixed with the letter F. A couple things to note. By invoking this trace, we assume the use of the default value naming in the JMS config file. Next slide. Lastly, for using method two, if you want the trace file to be placed under var npm trace, then change the output name property as in the first example. To turn tracing off, simply set the trace status to off, and formatting of these types of traces is not required. Next slide. These Info Center links also document and demonstrate how a configuration file may be used to set various properties provided to be passed to the JMS classes. It also describes the defaults for the properties listed in the file. There may be a requirement to provide additional features in the trace settings in order to perform more analysis of trace data. Next slide. Now I'm going to touch briefly on the MQJMS trace level. This trace level does maintain backwards compatibility that works for version 6 through version 7.5. For compatibility with version 6.0, the Java property MQJMS trace level is retained, but the trace differs. WebSphere MQ classes for JMS now contains a class that an application can use to control tracing. An application can start and stop tracing, specify the required level of detail in a trace, and customize trace in various ways. For example, you can now configure the trace by using properties that you specify in a client configuration file. Next slide.
For those of you following along, we are now on slide 11.
Okay, MQJMS trace level, it can be enabled on the trace by setting the Java property to either on or base. Set the value to on to trace WebSphere MQ classes for JMS calls only, or set the Java property to base to trace both MQ classes for JMS calls and the underlying MQ classes for Java calls. Next slide. Also note, in MQ version 7.01 through 7.5, setting the MQJMS trace level to on or base produces the same results as setting the common services property to on. To disable the trace, set the trace level to off. And note also that setting MQJMS trace directory is equivalent to setting the output name property to mqjmspid.trc. Next slide. how to perform version 7 WebSphere MQ-based Java tracing. This assumes that you have already taken the necessary steps to verify and ensure that your Java installation is loaded correctly and is fully functional. This type of WebSphere MQ-based Java class trace is typically used for standalone Java applications. The TechNote reference provides instructions to start, stop, and format traces for the WebSphere MQ-based Java classes. You will have to create an MQ Java properties file, which I will show you on the next slide. The MQ Java properties file can also be copied from the link from the TechNote or from our Info Center. On Windows and Unix, the full path of the properties file is required when executing the Java program. For MQ Java tracing, there are a few ways in which Java tracing can be enabled, as mentioned in the tech note and in the next few slides. Can we go to the next slide, please? This is an example of what the Java properties file looks like that will need to be created or copied from the tech note or from the Info Center link on the left. The link under the first bullet point provides more details about using the common services and what the property files contain. Instructions for WebSphere MQ-based Java class trace are listed in the TechNote 1174924, which I mentioned at the beginning of the section. Next slide, please. If an application that uses the WebSphere MQ version 7 classes for Java is running on the same machine as a queue manager, then any trace that is generated will be sent to the queue manager for processing. This means that the trace will be in the standard WebSphere MQ queue manager format for the platform that the application is running on and will need to be formatted. This is true even if the application is connecting to a remote queue manager. If the application is running on a system that does not have a queue manager installed, then any trace generated by the classes for Java will be written out in a readable format and will not require any additional formatting. So to reiterate these two points, in other terms, anytime you use the STRMQTRC to generate a trace file, then formatting is required except on those systems where it is not necessary, such as Windows platforms. Next slide. Using the Java trace formatter, the trace formatter is a Java program that converts binary trace point data in a trace file to a readable form. The formatter produces a file containing header and information about the JVM that produced the binary trace file, a list of threads for which trace points were produced, and the formatted trace points with their timestamp, thread ID, trace point ID, and trace point data. The size of the heap needed to format the trace is directly proportional to the number of threads present in the trace file. For large numbers of threads, the formatter might run out of memory, generating an out-of-memory error. In this case, increasing the heap size usually helps. Next slide. If IBM support requests a trace, then chances are we are looking for something in particular and or a certain type of issue, and the majority of the time debugging traces should be conducted by level 2 or level 3 IBM support teams. I will not be getting into details on reading traces in this presentation. However, for your interest, there are trace analyzer tools available on AlphaWorks which can help detect delays and hangs in WebSphere traces. Also on AlphaWorks website, there are a number of other tools that can be used to help analyze various problems. I've provided these links for reference should you be interested in looking at these tools for yourself. Next slide. These next few slides show how to enable WebSphere application server version 6 to version 8 JMS trace. The first two links have information on setting up JMS tracing within WAS and where this is to be done, as well as what type of traces can be taken and what trace strings should be used for each. In order to debug JMS problems within WAS, it is useful and sometimes necessary to collect a trace of the failure. This We'll help debug the application and find any errors or problems within the code. Oftentimes, we request WMQ and WAS JMS Java traces concurrently, which helps to diagnose JMS Java communication between MQ and WAS systems. Next slide. The three main JMS traces that can be taken within WAS are static, dynamic, and client. I've highlighted what the differences are between each of these types of JMS traces, so you can see when it would be appropriate to use them. For example, in the static trace, you see that this requires a restart of the WAS application in order to invoke the trace. But if that's not possible, then consider a dynamic trace would be a more preferable option. In addition, these links can be bookmarked for reference to help you establish the how-to for the type of JMS trace being taken. Next slide. This is the most common JMS trace string we'll ask for. As you can see, it has each trace flag set to all so as to capture all information that's being traced. This WAS JMS trace string is often used in conjunction with WebSphere MQ simultaneous or concurrent tracing and debugging of JMS problems for WAS. The trace string does need to be entered all on one line. In addition, for capturing potential API leaks such as WAS connection pulling problems or transaction tracing, the connection and transaction trace options can be appended to the WAS JMS common trace string. Next slide. These tech notes links provide some of the most common issues found in JMS Java tracing and explain the situations of some of the problems encountered. I'm not going to go through each link, but if you find you're getting any of the following messages, then it's best to reference these tech notes for further assistance and information. Next slide. Trying to use the DSPMQ ver command, you might encounter one of these issues. From what I've found, the most common reason for the DSPMQ ver command to give the AMQ8351 message is because the wrong number is given after the dash P option in the DSPMQ ver command, or the wrong number with the command was given on the wrong platform, even if the MQ Java environment has been set up correctly. The tech note 1440310 references more details and usage of the DSPMQ ver command. And if you see the return code 2495, then the last tech note should help you with some of the issues found with that. Next slide. Before going into JVM tracing, there are some caveats or restrictions about using MQ-based Java on WebSphere application server. WebSphere MQ offers two APIs for use in Java applications. WebSphere MQ classes for Java messaging service, and WebSphere MQ classes for Java. WebSphere MQ classes for JMS is the API best suited for use in J2EE and JEE, as it's now known, environments. The JMS and J2EE, JEE specifications have been developed together specifically to allow JMS-based messaging to fully interact with a J2EE or JEE environment. And the WebSphere MQ JMS API has been designed and implemented with this in mind. The link provided discusses additional considerations that should be taken into account when using the MQ-based Java API in the JEE environment. Next slide. JVM tracing may be requested also depending on our customer's environment. The first link is for how to obtain the MQ-based Java trace using the JVM method tracing from WAS version 6 through version 8. I've broken the trace down instructions down into five simple steps at a very high level. Basically, the first few steps are: step 1, set up the JMS trace using the WAS JMS trace string. Step 2, set up the JVM method trace from the admin console And step three, log off the admin console and restart WAS. Next slide. The last two steps in the JVM trace is to ensure that the MQ-based Java application has started, so whatever exception is being thrown will be captured. This can be verified by looking at the trace.log for any noted exceptions expected during the tracing period. In the example, we're looking at a trace that was taken showing the return code equals 2009 that was captured in the trace. Next slide. For WebSphere MQ JCA Resource Adapter Trace, or RA Trace as it's sometimes referred, you will need to refer to documentation supplied with your application server for information about how to configure a JCA resource adapter. Every application server provides its own set of administration interfaces. Some application servers provide a GUI to define the JCA resource, but others require the administrator to write XML deployment plans. You should be already familiar with JMS and WebSphere MQ classes for JMS when utilizing this type of tracing. Many of the properties used to configure the WebSphere MQ resource adapter are equivalent to properties of WebSphere MQ classes for JMS objects and have the same function. The resource adapter object encompasses the global properties of the WebSphere MQ resource adapter. This type of trace is used with app servers such as JBoss and WebLogic. The resource adapter object has two sets of properties: properties associated with diagnostic tracing and properties associated with the connection pool managed by the resource adapter. The way you define these properties, again, depends on the administration interface provided by your application server. Next slide. For details on the configuration of the WebSphere MQ resource adapter, you can visit the first link provided under the first bullet. The WebSphere MQ resource adapter, VAR file, contains a file called ra.xml, which contains a deployment descriptor for the resource adapter. This deployment descriptor is defined by the XML schema noted there and contains information about the resource adapter and the services that it provides. An application server might also require a deployment plan for the resource adapter, which may be specific to the application server. As for the resource adapter object, it doesn't require administration. However, to enable diagnostic tracing on a Unix system, for example, you can set the following properties, which are shown for trace enable, trace destination, and trace level. There's no need to define all the properties of the resource adapter object, because if it's left unspecified, it'll just take the default values. If you'd like to see more details about configuration of the resource adapter object, then visit the link under the last bullet point. Next slide. The resource adapter logs warning and error messages by using the WebSphere MQ classes for JMS. For a WebSphere application server, messages are automatically redirected to the application server output log. For other application servers such as WebLogic and JBoss, these will by default go to a file called mqjms.log. To configure the resource adapter to log additional warning messages to your application server's standard output log, set the JVM system property for your app server as provided in the example. For details on how to set a JVM system property, you'll need to reference your application server documentation. But by default, the log output is sent to the mqjms.log file in the JVM working directory. See the link for logging and WebSphere MQ classes for JMS and read more about JMS logging. The last bullet is our tech note on WMQ JCA RA tracing. Please note that this is currently being rewritten and updated, but it does provide more details about this type of tracing and other tracing as well. Next slide. If you're not sure of the version of your JCA, or if it is the current version that is distributed with WAS, then the first two bullet points will better guide you through finding out the WMQ JCA version, as well as configuring the WMQ RA for the WAS fix packs. Since WAS is shipped with the WMQ RA, the WAS JMS trace will capture all the details about RA if you use the same JMS trace highlighted before, as well as in the provided tech note. See the Info Center link for more details on and information on the WMQ version 7 RA. Next slide. As part of tracing and doc collection, I wanted to mention the RunMQ RAS tool. This is a newer tool that can be used to collect problem determination data and files at WMQ version 7.01 or later, 7.101 or later, and 7.5 or later of MQ. It is a Java-based tool, so once again, you'll need to make sure that your Java environment is configured correctly. This tool is very beneficial when first opening new PMRs or for ensuring all the necessary must-gather doc is collected and sent to IBM support for analysis. Running this tool also will speed up turnaround time for the PMR and prevent IBM support from having to contact our customers to request necessary must-gather doc. Next slide. AOS stands for Assist On-Site. In some cases, when necessary or needed, IBM support may request a live web session for viewing or looking at customers' system details. This might help with diagnosing some issues where it may be difficult to explain or provide details, which may be shown more easily by the tool. The AOS tool is much like conducting a WebEx session. If many of you have used this tool or WebEx, then the concepts of how it works is pretty much the same. However, to better understand more about IBM's AOS tool, you can visit the bullet link in the last bullet there. Next slide. The majority of WebSphere MQ Java failures are caused by setup configuration problems. The path, class path, and environment variables must be configured as per Chapter 2 of the WebSphere MQ using Java manual. For example, in the no class def found error, if exhibited, it's normally a class path problem. Java client connectivity issues can be treated just like any other channel failure. And make sure that your queue connection factory or your topic connection factory are configured to connect to the server machine where your queue manager resides. Sometimes we see customers that don't properly configure these attributes, which can cause issues when trying to debug a problem that comes down to a simple configuration issue. Verify that the queue manager and listener programs are running, because this can also affect the Java applications. There needs to be a ServCon channel that supports the queue and topic connection on the server, so do verify that these exist, otherwise this could cause connectivity problems as well. Testing the client connection can be done by using WebSphere MQ Java client or C client sample programs, or try a TCP IP ping from client to server to make sure there's connectivity also. Next slide. These are some helpful references and resources. Some have already been provided throughout this presentation, but they are listed here also as overall reference. Some customers ask, what is the performance impact of running a WMQ trace? So I provided the last In the last bullet point there, there's a link for reference to that. Next slide. In summary, remember that capturing traces helps debug exceptions or other problems being reported that cannot be solved through typical troubleshooting methods or standard application logs. Gathering simultaneous tracing is becoming a common approach for helping to debug issues. It is important to think about where the problem is happening before beginning to run traces so as to capture the trace with a one-shot approach. Tracing using the MQ JMS trace level, where Webster MQ classes for JMS earlier than version 7 are still supported but should be considered deprecated for any new application. In MQ version 7, the MQ Java properties file can be set up for Java tracing. Be sure and reference the tech notes provided throughout this presentation for additional assistance with setting up tracing or for known issues. You'll also note some points I have listed, from collecting traces to understanding PMR priorities and severities, that may help you with future planning and training. If all else fails, the RunMQ RAS tool can be ran to collect the necessary must-gather documentation that IBM support would need, and an AOS session can be conducted for anything that might be a quick solution. Next slide. Provided here are some additional WebSphere product resources, which may be reviewed and bookmarked. And with that, I'll turn the time back over to David.
Thank you, Tim, for a great presentation. Thank you for your participation. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this time, Julie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1, and you will be prompted to record your first and last name. Please unmute your phone when recording your name, and to withdraw your question, press star 2. One moment, please. I am showing no questions.
Okay. Thank you, Julie. I do see one question in the group chat, and it's in regard to turning on JMS tracing. Someone is asking, the old method of turning the tracing on seems easier. Why would I use the new method?
I'm sorry. I'm not seeing the question that's in the group chat.
It was sent to the Q&A group. You probably don't see that. The old method seems easier. Why would I use the new method? For example, a method used to turn JMS trace on.
Well, what kind of JMS trace are we referring to? A client standalone JMS trace or a JMS trace within the WebSphere application server?
Yeah, I don't know.
So I'm sure we'd have to, if the customer would like to, or if the individual would like to email me directly, perhaps I can answer that question. If they want to provide me their phone number, I can give them a call and discuss it further.
Sure.
I mean, there's different options for using JMS tracing, and I'm not sure if they're referring to the old version for version of WAS
yep.
or version of JMS client tracing.
I do know it was asked around the time that you were presenting slide 14. Which I'm bringing up right now.
Well, this is for Java tracing.
Right. So I don't know. Martin is not responding in the group chat, but if you're still on, Martin, you can find Tim's email address on the first slide of this presentation, which is available for download on the support technical site. And I'm not seeing any other questions. So at this time, we will conclude the presentation. We We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site by early next week. Thanks very much for joining us today.
We do have a question come in. Did you want to take that?
Sure.
Mr. Patel, your line is open. Please hit your mute button, Mr. Patel.
Sure. Sorry, I'm not sure if I miss anything here, but I have one question. Is there any way we can do the dynamically GSEA resource adapter trace in the new technology?
The dynamic GSEA tracing?
Yes.
I have not come across anything as far as dynamic GSEA tracing as of yet. I know there's a lot of different options for GSEA tracing. Is it specific to a specific app server that you're using?
Yeah, like JBoss or Tomcat.
You know, it might be something you'd have to go back to the, as I mentioned before, the app, the company that provides your app server. You know, whether it be TIBCO or WebLogic, they might have some options for enabling that type of tracing. Unfortunately, I don't have any other details on that.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
No further questions.
Okay, thank you. And I see no more questions in the group chat. So I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today, and thank you, Tim, for presenting today.
Thank you, everyone.